Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, July 26th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
How often do you entertain gentlemen sex guests?
Who would like to know? I have a fantastic show in store for you today. It happens to be another twofer. My guest is so talented and his interests so diverse that he rightly falls into both the Erotic Mind and the Sex Education podcast series. I love when that happens. I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming a legend, David Lawrence.
You ever run a webcam ring out of here? Gentlemen tell you what to do, you do it.
Not out of the studio, per se, but that's all I'm saying. I happen to know a number of very talented riggers. Some of them have appeared on this show. And I know even more outstanding photographers, and a lot of them have appeared on this show, too. But David is both. He has mastered photography and shibari, the art of Japanese rope bondage. And that, my friends, takes a huge amount of dedication. To see precisely what I mean, be sure to check out David's astonishing photography, his brilliant rope work, and his workshops and mentoring program, all of which can be found on his website, shibariartphotography.com.
Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Well, there was that disturbing gerbil incident, but I don't think it was criminal, exactly. Today's program is brought to you by So Hard for Men. So Hard is what we in the business lovingly call a boner pill. But So Hard for Men is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's a pure, all-natural herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard for Men, so I can testify to its effectiveness. Look for my review of So Hard for Men on my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Use the site's search function, type in the word herbal, and you can read my comments and evaluation.
Your work life seems very demanding.
You have no idea. The makers of So Hard for Men are so confident that their product works that they offer a 100% money-back guarantee. They also proudly offer their first-time customers a free, no-obligation trial pack. This is an amazing opportunity for you to test this product on your own. Get your wood the natural way. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome to Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, David, and thank you for joining us. I'm so happy that we could make this time to be together. You are such a huge talent that you are here as part of both the Erotic Mind series and the Sex Education series. I love a twofer.
Oh, twofers are great, aren't they? Well, yeah, thank you. It's actually a long time coming that we finally got this
holy
working.
Holy cow. So, alrighty then, and now that you're here, I know your audience is dying to meet you. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Never.
How about some of the kinky
I just
nice
can't talk
people.
To the nice people. But everyone out there with a mind similar to mine, how you all doing?
I love it. So, as you know, I've been spending way too much time on your website, shibariartphotography.com. It is so unique and chocked full of very fascinating information and gorgeous images. I confess to being a bit overwhelmed at first. I even had some difficulty deciding where to begin our conversation, and so I finally settled on beginning at the beginning, because I'm really clever that way.
I've never heard of that before.
Really?
You must be the first person to start at the beginning. you should patent that one, I'm telling you. This is great.
I probably will. So let's talk about you some.
Okay.
All right. Your bio page reads, David Lawrence has been a master of expressive portrait social function and people photography for more than 25 years.
It's more than 30 years.
Oh,
now.
My God.
I should change that.
I guess. So during that time, styles and fads have come and gone, but David's methods have remained true and effective. The tenets his work is based upon are not a matter of style, but of substance.
Yes.
How and when did you hit upon photography as your medium of artistic expression?
Well, that goes back to the 70s,
really?
If you do the math. You know, back around...
You were like 5 or 6?
not quite. I'm actually 55 this year. The numbers are getting up there.
Yes.
But, it was back in 1976 that I picked up my first camera.
Uh-huh.
And it was a hobby, just something I wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But within a year and a half's time, it was just so apparent to me that what I was doing was just totally boring. I was in accounting. I was an accounting major in college,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't enjoy it. And I didn't like working in the field as a junior accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So I transitioned to photography, and it gave me the opportunity to have a business as well as a creative outlet for what I do.
Right. Oh, interesting.
So it's a long time ago.
So when did the erotic component begin to appear in your work?
That was actually a little bit in the early 80s,
uh-huh.
but only for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until 2003 that I started shooting rope.
Right.
So it really was many, many years after. And I think that's why my work came out into the world with impact,
uh-huh.
was that I was a seasoned professional already.
Right.
So my eye and use of light composition was already established.
Right, right.
So the imagery, at least the way Jürgen put it to me, Jürgen Bowett from Secret Magazine, the publisher,
right.
Had said to me, you've changed bondage photography.
Yes. You certainly have, I might add, because I've seen plenty. And yours is very unique.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of wonderful photographers out there. I'm one of them,
yes.
I think. And, so it's really wonderful to be part of a group of people who can produce imagery that has artistic value and not isn't just a snapshot.
Right. So you go on to say about yourself on your site, David became interested in shibari, the art of Japanese rope bondage, in early 2003. With a keen artist's eye, David recognized the inherent beauty of rope on skin. Shibari quickly became a passion, one that developed more intensity as he worked with and experienced the magic of rope. David's talent and skill truly emerged as he delved deeper into the art of tying rope. His ties are meticulous, intricate, intense, and beautiful. In fact, they are all true works of art.
Boy, that sounds nice.
Is this your publicist? And I want that publicist to write for me.
Yeah, I know. It's actually my slave Judy wrote the text on my website.
Well, I need to get a slave, apparently, because my shit don't sound like your shit. And
well, I mean, she's definitely available to... she's written for other people that I know forwards for their books and things of that nature.
So the point of that paragraph is that you're not simply a casual bystander capturing the BDSM and rope play that you see around you. You are a practitioner and a rigger yourself, right?
Yes. Yes, actually, I first saw... rope bondage, at least in the Japanese style, in 03 at the Libertine Ball in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
That was in July. And I loved it. I mean, so whoever it was, I don't even know who it was, gave a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, the next day, like many people, when they get inspired with something, mm-hmm. I went out to Home Depot and bought some rope.
Uh-huh.
And I just started tying.
Uh-huh.
And it was just time for myself, for my pleasures, and
mm-hmm.
This is definitely a sexual component to that,
right?
And quite a fun sexual component.
Mm-hmm.
And on a quick sidetrack, people think that tying isn't sexually oriented necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. I mean, the sexual component of tying. Like, why else would you want to tie someone up? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to do something with them. You know what I'm saying? So, at any rate, the beginnings were a brutal time for my slave because she had no concept, I had no concept of how to really do things
right.
in a safe and sane manner
right.
per se.
Yeah.
So my ties were very tight.
Yeah.
They, you know, I'd finish a tie and she'd be in it for 3 minutes, and she can't take it anymore.
Okay.
So I did some research. And I came across Midori's name.
Right.
And I called her. I actually spoke with her on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke for a few minutes, and she recommended her book, mm-hmm. The Fine Art of The Art of Japanese Rope Bondage,
mm-hmm.
I believe it's called.
Yes.
And I purchased it and worked with it for about a week or so, getting
mm-hmm.
some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, you know, how people get to Carnegie Hall by practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting like 30 hours or more a week
Holy
into
cow.
Practice. I mean, a lot. For about a year, I tied that much. I would be tying pillows, my leg, you know, my slave Judy. Every single time we were together, she'd be in rope. And, so it really became self-taught at that
wow.
point.
Wow.
You know, and I never actually studied with anybody. So actually everything I do is something that I have learned on my own. Or, you know, when I became a presenter, you know, I became friends with all the major presenters of
right.
rope around the world.
Right.
And we share things all the time.
Right.
So, you know, you pick up ideas and concepts and, you know, little tricks of the trade, so to speak.
Absolutely. So if I'm gathering correctly, your life in BDSM it predates your life in rope. Yes.
Yes. By many, many years.
Okay. So good. Yeah,
I started in the lifestyle when I was a teenager.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Precocious.
When I was 16 years old. It's a wonderful story. I don't know if your listeners can hear this.
Well, go ahead.
I was 16 years old, and I was hitchhiking from a friend's house to go home, and it was, you know, probably about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. A beautiful, I mean, absolutely beautiful mid-30s woman picked me up, and rather than give me a ride home, I wound up going back to her place.
No
and
kidding.
Spending a weekend there.
Holy cow.
I mean, for a 16-year-old, I mean, come on, this is like a dream. And she really taught me a lot of, like, the finer nuances in that weekend of not only lifestyle kind of things, but, you know, how to please a woman.
Right.
What a woman wants in relation to a man sexually.
Right.
You know, how the parts work.
Right.
On a woman. I mean, it was like...
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had mentors like that? You know,
oh my God!
It was too bad our culture is, you know, so cuckoo nutty about, you know, intergenerational sex, but, you know, I mean, it's clear that, you know, folks, you know, older than us, you know, have information that we could benefit from if, you know, if we weren't so nutty about it.
Oh, absolutely! But that's why there are a lot of women out there that like men that are older,
yes.
because that they have the finesse
exactly.
sexually that younger men have no clue about.
Yes. You know, they're all hormones and erections and stuff like that, and nothing about, as you say, suggest, finesse.
Right.
Let me also ask, you rig a lot of or most of the scenes that you shoot. Is that not right?
I actually rig all of them.
No kidding.
Yeah, no one rigs for my imagery. And,
I see.
I did for a while. I was doing a couple things for other photographers.
Uh-huh.
But I pretty much decided against that unless I have complete control
right.
over it, you know, because I had a situation that occurred in Philadelphia where a photographer hired me to do rigging for him for a concept.
Yes.
And there was another guy there that was his lighting person, someone
mm-hmm.
who was, you know, he's worked with a lot.
Right.
And they, you know, we did the first set, which was great. And actually, that's the last sequence in my book. Risha was the model.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where I rigged her on this column, which was outstanding. I mean, it's just an amazing time. But the second set, they wanted me to put her in the bamboo tripod
mm-hmm.
that I had
mm-hmm.
constructed
mm-hmm.
in an inverted, like a U-shaped suspension,
mm-hmm.
you know, where her midsections brought up high, and her arms and legs would be then spread eagle down to the four ends of the quad tripod thing. It was actually a quad, not a tripod. Uh-huh. But at any rate, it was really a very precarious position for someone to be in. Mm-hmm. So I was watching what they were doing about lighting and setting up the shot, and then I put my two cents in, because I do that from time to time.
You're top. You can do that.
Oh, absolutely. And so I was letting them know that what they were planning to do wouldn't work because they would have no versatility, no flexibility right. in shooting because they had their lights way too close.
Oh, my goodness.
And when you're shooting bondage photography, you need to work quickly. Uh-huh. You know, no matter how good you are, your attention is split between the shooting and the model, and you really need to have an attention on both. Uh-huh. So if you set your lighting up where it's far enough away where you can have mobility, move around, move close, move back, that's your best. You can't stop and reset something.
Right.
So these guys,
go ahead.
So these guys would not alter their game plan. In fact, the one guy told me to shut up, and that I was there to do rigging and not to do lighting.
Oh,
so I just looked at him and said, "We're done,"
yeah.
because I won't put a model in jeopardy because of your ego.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't. I finished. I was right. done.
Which is the perfect segue to what I want to talk about next, and that is how these two art forms are alike and how they are different. Obviously, the two involve different skill sets, but there is a visual aspect to both art forms, the shibari and the photography, that are remarkably similar, at least to my mind. And both art forms necessitate an eye for beauty and creative expression. Is
yes,
that your thought?
Well, they do. I mean, on a very simple basis, you know, photography is a visual creation. You know,
uh-huh.
you create something visually and you enhance that with the use of light and composition.
Right, right.
So that's on the photographic side. But mm-hmm. when you're tying someone, you add to that the tactile sensation.
Right.
So you're not only having something visual, but you're adding the touch to it.
Right.
And then with the touch, what I like to translate within my work is the ability to almost feel what's going on. That
right.
thus all my ties are real. I don't do fake ties you know, for the camera.
Right.
I like to capture the coarseness of the rope,
uh-huh.
you know, the texture of the rope. But if you look at the you know, the composition of a tie, you know, similar to the composition of a photograph, you want to compose that rope on the person, so to speak, or design it in a way that works with their body type,
mm-hmm.
but also for the functionality that you have in mind. So a tie can be something that's asymmetrical and beautiful, or it could be asymmetrical as
mm-hmm.
opposed to symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as everything comes together well and is composed in a way visually that works,
mm-hmm.
but also within the larger scene. So what I always do when I teach people in photography is you have an image that is, let's say, the full frame, but then you keep going in closer
mm-hmm.
and keep going closer,
uh-huh.
keep going closer. Everything changes as your perspective changes.
Yes.
And so same thing with rope. You know, your perspective is different if you're tying something, you know, just a breast as
mm-hmm.
opposed to then two breasts
mm-hmm.
or the entire body.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot to consider
right.
in what you're doing. And then you have your underlying motivation for the tie, as well as even for an image. You have a motivation in creating
right.
something, a statement to be made from a particular image. And I believe every image has a statement.
So this, what I'm hearing from you is comments or statements being made by a master of both of the arts. Is it possible to tell me which is more difficult to master, photography or rigging, or is that comparing apples and oranges?
I think it's comparing apples to oranges.
Okay.
I think the easiest way to make a correlation is in the type of personality the individual has.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. I am definitely like a type A personality.
You don't say.
I am completely anal. I mean, how many other people do you know that will spend 30 hours
a
week?
I know. Holy cow.
Trying something new. I approach photography in the same way. When
right.
I first started in photography, I was shooting and shooting and shooting. I never was without a camera
uh-huh.
until I mastered lighting. mm-hmm. and composition. And the same thing with rope. You know, so if a person wants to delve into something with a full force, they will learn it,
yes.
and they will become expert at it.
Yeah.
But if a person approaches it like, well, I'll do it from time to time, well, their skill level is not going to expand.
Right.
You know, it's going to be, you know, mediocre at best,
yeah.
Just because they're not putting the time in.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between a master and a dilettante. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being a dilettante necessarily, but you can hardly suggest that you are otherwise.
But no, I agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah.
So your bio goes on to say that David's gifts to us is his ability to expertly blend his two passions, rope and photography. As a result, his striking images communicate sensuality, eroticism, and the force of raw emotion. His use of lighting, angles, and sheer creativity is the key to his poignant imagery. Well, that couldn't have been said better, doesn't seem to me. So it is all about passion, isn't it? I mean, one could be this dilettante in either or the other art. But mastery is passion, and I suspect you agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, if someone has a passion, they will put the time in
mm-hmm.
because they won't be satisfied right. if, you know, at least for me, mm-hmm. a person will not be satisfied with the way they do something, which is an expression of who they are,
mm-hmm.
if it's not done well. My credo in photography is you're only as good as your last photograph.
Right. And the same thing is true, I mean, as you suggested before, that, you know, one can go to the Home Depot and get himself a bunch of rope. Doesn't make him a shibari artist, necessarily. Isn't it the same thing? He's as good as his last rig?
I would say so.
So another connection between the two art forms. In photography, there is the issue of lighting and angles. You've already mentioned that. And mm-hmm. in shibari, there's the placement of ropes and positioning of the body. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So you actually have, like, at least four aspects to consider in imagining the photo that is to result from, you know, this particular tying incident.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, you could look at it sort of like a fashion designer
uh-huh.
is designing their clothes to drape the body.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I'm doing with the rigging, is uh-huh. I'm figuring out a way to encapsulate this body in rope. And then the photographer, separate from that, is capturing. So it's really two separate things, but being joined together to create something with impact that communicates, you know, what is this rope all about? And it's not so much about the body, although it's always beautiful to see the body. It's how the rope is placed, what's done, how it's captured photographically. You know, so again, it's, you know, when you look at a model in clothes, it's not so much about the model.
Right.
It's about their clothes.
Right. So I was just going to ask, then what comes first in your mind, the bondage scene or the photographic concept? Or can you really make a distinction?
Well, actually, in my first book, Bound, what I did before every shoot, I would actually draw, you know, like stick figures. I would create in my mind what I wanted to do.
Wow.
And I knew the person who I was going to be tying, so I knew their body type. I knew what I would be working with. And I don't look to work with models, per se.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I love working with real people, people that aren't professional models, because there's a realism mm-hmm. that comes into play.
Yes.
There are a lot of models out there that have this, like, fake expression stuff that goes on when they work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not into fake. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So,
well, it would show in the photography. And that's one of the things that I've mentioned to other people in this series. You know, one can tell the difference between somebody who is shooting, you know, like this sort of thing as a fashion kind of thing, as opposed to somebody who's shooting from a perspective of, you know, this is my life, this is what I'm passionate about, this is who I am kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So you go on to say one more thing about yourself, and it says, tying and shooting women has been an amazing and powerful journey that isn't over yet, but it's time to raise the bar a bit and embark on a new challenging endeavor. Thus, the project Men Bound. People have been approaching me for a long time regarding rigging and photographing men. It is absolutely an untapped source and uncharted course of creative expression that I feel must be explored. I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that.
My motivation actually is my brother Ben,
uh-huh.
who passed away 11 years ago
uh-huh.
from AIDS.
Uh-huh.
And I want to bring his memory, you know, and dedicate this book
How
to him,
wonderful.
As well as I think a fairly significant portion of the proceeds from that book when it's done to AIDS research.
Wow, good for you.
So that's my motivation,
right?
You know, for this series. But I mean, it's actually very funny because being a heterosexual male, tying men,
mm-hmm.
it's a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of, well, even with tying women, I'm like a gynecologist. You know, it's like
uh-huh.
you've seen one, you've seen them all. It's like, okay, here's another one.
Uh-huh.
You know, but, you know, it's actually not completely true like
uh-huh.
that. But, you know, the relationship between the rigger and the subject and then the photographer and subject, they have to be solid. There has to be a really good rapport,
yeah.
you know, for a good positive energy to flow back and forth.
Right.
And
it can
also
be filled with sexual tension without it being, you know, a genital kind of thing. Is that not
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely
Good.
True.
That's
I mean, when I do a shoot, when I'm working with a model, whether it be an actual model or someone who just wants to be in imagery, there's never play. I actually
right.
don't play with my models.
Right. There's some wisdom in that, don't you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are so many photographers that I know that have destroyed their reputations.
Oh, I know.
Because they, in my opinion, crossed the line of professionalism.
Right.
I'm there to create something. I'm not
yeah.
there to get my rocks off.
Yeah.
You know, and so I the only time I get an erection during a shoot is when I'm playing with my slave. You know, that's where the fun is for
yeah,
me.
Right.
You know, the other is artistic.
Yeah.
So I get turned on by that, but it's not sexual.
Right.
But I wanted to just digress one sec to finish answering what I started to before you went on, and
okay.
then I'll into the men series. So on Bound, everything was pre-planned,
mm-hmm.
and it was all studio. It was all very much designed
mm-hmm.
In advance. But I was also relatively new at rigging. Everything in Rebound was thought about, but much more spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all location. Everything, you know, locations were used, all kinds of locations
right.
across the country. And so there wasn't a predetermined notion of what and how would be done, which gave a lot more openness to creating something different every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the men series, that'll be a combination of a studio look and a location look. So,
wow.
you know, it's just going to be wherever I have an opportunity to shoot, that'll be great. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of guys express interest in shooting, and we would set dates or potential dates or say let's talk, but they cancel.
Wow.
But I am having a shoot probably next weekend, not this one, but the following weekend, so I'm looking forward to that.
Mm.
I'm thinking that the project will probably take about a year and a half
wow.
or so to complete, you know, to compile enough material for
mm-hmm.
a book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's exciting.
I guess
it is something I'm really looking forward to. And the only difference to me in tying, and actually the energy in tying a man and tying a woman is very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, like the psychology of tying.
Yeah.
Women, you know, when you tie a woman, at least in my opinion, you know, there's, you know, she becomes submissive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a, you know, a very male-dominated situation, you know, when it's a man tying a woman. With a man, it's more of like capturing.
Hmm.
You're taking a male energy and corralling it.
That's so true, and I think that and our culture's response to images of a woman bound and a man bound are totally different.
Absolutely.
And that is so fascinating to me. That, you know, because it's basically the same thing. I mean, rope and, you know, a human being and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, how we translate that and how we filter those images through our cultural prejudices are amazing, absolutely amazing, and transform everything that we see.
I think that is very true, absolutely true. And you know, I'm looking forward to, over the course of the next year and a half or 2 years, in working with men, to not only bring out the beauty in the male form, but also that energy, mm-hmm. you know, that is expressed from a man in rope. I mean, I think it's a very, very powerful thing. I mean, the first series of my men's project is on my website, and this guy is a like a construction type worker, and the sweetest guy, also straight, and I'm straight, and it was hysterical because this was shot at Atlanta Bound when I was presenting down there as part of a workshop.
Wow.
And so I was thinking, you know, what can I do differently from the workshop I did the prior year? And so I thought, you know, let me do a shoot. So they microphoned me up, and I have a microphone on, and I'm going to walk through a shoot. And then I thought, well, let me shoot a guy. You know, I want this men's project, so I'm going to do my first guy. So I asked for a volunteer, and this is who was volunteered to me. Well, it was hysterical. There were about 40 or 50 people in this workshop, and I'm walking through the series of what I'm doing with tying, and then I get to the point of photography. But while I was tying him, first time I ever put rope on a naked man, and I'm putting rope around his thigh, and my back of my hand brushed his cock. And I'm like, oh, my God, I touched it. And people were on the floor laughing.
Oh, how fun.
And so I'm finishing up, and, you know, then I get to the point where I'm shooting the shot from when I'm below him, and I'm shooting up. And I'm looking up, I'm saying, and don't you dare drip on me. I mean, people were hysterical. I mean, it was great fun. I mean, we had a blast.
Well, look at how expansive that is, you know, for you as a human being, you know, and as a sexual person and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, again, it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely wonderful. What a great story.
It was terrific. It was really, really good. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, a man, his sexual excitement is evident.
Yes.
You know, so he either is turned on or he's not turned on, and you can tell. So this guy I was just talking to, his name is Matt, who I'll be photographing a week from this coming weekend. I said to him point blank, I asked him, are you straight? Or, you know, what's your orientation? So he's straight. I said, good. I said, do you get sexually aroused if rope is put on you? He says, I probably will. I said, perfect, because there's something I want to do that I've never seen done with rope. Yeah, with CBT, which is cock and ball torture.
Right.
And I've actually never done it. I'm going to probably have to try it on myself first, see if it'll work. But, you know, there's a particular tie that if it does work, it will be so gorgeous. And so it'll be the first time I'm tying some guy's genitals. You know, and actually working this rope around the cock coming all the way up. You know, because I will be encasing it in a particular design. And the imagery will be absolutely breathtaking if it works. And I think it will work. So in about, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, you'll be able to see those results.
Yay! But I'm just looking at the time, David, and our time for today is up. In fact, we're way over time. But
oh, my goodness.
I know. This is so fascinating, our conversation. I need to beg you to come back next week. Can you?
I would love to.
Oh, yay. Because I got a shitload of more questions. And I want to talk about your books and your workshops and mentoring program and all that kind of stuff. So same time next week, yes?
Okay, that sounds perfect.
But before we go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a bit so that we can visit you during the week?
Okay, sure. Absolutely. The website is shibariartphotography.com. When you first get to the site, there'll be a disclaimer notice. You have to be over 18 to enter. So if you do not, if you're not over 18, do not enter. But once you get in, there's a welcome page or a home page. Talks about the site a little bit, but also talks about Rebound, which is my current book, which is in the pre-print sale phase right now. And from there, you can go to the photographic galleries, which is are down the left-hand side. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think there's 10 or 11 galleries down the left-hand side. And then there's more informational things up on top. About, you know, there's a bio, there's some services that I offer photographically, but also in post-production. Mm-hmm. There's information about workshops, both photographic and rope-related. Events and media has information about different events I've either been to or will be attending. How to purchase prints, and then there's a model call section where if you're interested in modeling, you can send me a note via the form I have online. Some links of different sites and places where you can see other rope or related, you know, sexual things that I have, you know the people, you know, that work those sites, and a contact form. So that's everything up there. There's one new addition on my website, which is, you know, in relation to Rebound, which is a Patron of the Arts page, which talks about how you can become a patron of the arts in relation to my work, in supporting the publishing of Rebound.
Wow, good for you.
And that's something that, you know, well, people who will put forward a contribution, and there's, you know, four different levels for that, everyone will get a mention in the book. So there'll be a patrons page for the book, but also not only will some people, depending upon what their contribution is, be receiving a book that's signed to them specifically, but also a photograph, a print of their choice from the book, from either an 8x12 size up to a 20x30.
Wow.
So it depends on the level of contribution. And I'm hoping that that will be a way to... you know, bring about the publishing of this book quicker.
Right.
And we could talk about that if you want a little bit more next week.
Good, thank you very much, Ed.
About why I'm doing it this way. Right. And I think this can really help a lot of other artists out there.
Great. David, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And between now and next week, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much, Richard, and you have a fabulous day. And thank you, everyone else out there listening. And send me a note. I'd love to hear from you.
Good, good, good. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for part two of my conversation with David Lawrence and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I need everyone to be on their best behavior. No cursing. Please take down any pornography that you have in your office.
Hey, you're not the boss of me. The pornography stays. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard for Men. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. So Hard for Men is different. It is made of 100% herbal extracts. It's as effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've tested, but it's much kinder on my system. There were no headaches, unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that consistently delivers on the promise it makes without any of the nasty side effects. So Hard for Men improves genital blood circulation, which assists in achieving and sustaining a strong erection.
I want to be of service. Let me help you.
That sounds like a plan. As you know, every human body is unique, and each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way. So keep that in mind when you use So Hard. And just so we're clear, So Hard is not miraculous. It will not override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused, as well as more energetic lovers. Look for the So Hard banner on drdicksexadvice.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.